Everybody wave at her. Just wave it. Let's see. Look at those people waving to you. You're going to make them earn it, aren't you? You're going to make them earn it. Come on up here. How are you? Do you like your little sister? Yeah. Not yet? No, okay. There'll be an altar call for the siblings today. The sibling rivalry is real. Would you just pray with me today as we dedicate Nadia? Did I say it right? I'm wicked conscious about it now, so that's the worst thing. Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you so much for Nadia today. We thank you. She's a beautiful, beautiful little girl. God, there's a sweetness about her life. Lord, there's a touch of heaven upon her. And we're so grateful for her today. God, we've come together as her church family to say that Nadia comes from you, is to serve you. And Lord, we can't do what we need to do without you. And so Lord, as we anoint Nadia's brow today, she's yours. We recommit, Lord, to be who we are called to be. This family recommits to be what they need to be. And we thank you, Lord, that your hand will be on Nadia's life every day of her life. The enemy will have no advantage in her life. We believe a hedge of protection is all about her. We pray, Lord, when she reaches the age of understanding, that she will have seen and heard such a clear presentation of the gospel that she'll receive you as her Lord and Savior. We thank you, Lord, for her purpose and her victory and her health and her strength. In Jesus' name, everyone said amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. She's sweet, but she wants her mom. Don't make me do that again, she says. All right. We want to dedicate Jameson to the Lord. Jameson? Okay. Jameson. Come on up here, guys. Come on over here. Look at this family. Wow. How did this happen? Well, I know how it happens, but how did it happen so fast is what I don't get. Wow. Incredible. You're getting outnumbered. Well, that can change.
Maybe in a couple years.
All right.
I need a little break.
You need a break, I believe it. You guys got your hands full. This is a great couple. It seems like yesterday you got married, and now you've got a basketball team.
Yep.
You've got a basketball team, so that's awesome. Aren't they handsome, good-looking boys? What a blessing. Lord, we come to you today with such gratitude for Jameson's life. We thank you that you have, before the foundations of the world, planned him, designed him for a specific task and purpose. We thank you, Lord, that you do all things well. And mom and dad have come here today, Lord, wanting your blessing. They'll give him everything he needs. But God, your blessing is the greatest thing that they could ever be a part of. Lord, we pray that you'll touch his body. We thank you, Lord, that you're healing his heart. You're making it strong as brand new in the name of Jesus Christ. And Lord, we anoint him today. This visible oil is a representation of your presence upon his life. He will not be like others. He's going to be what you called him to be. We thank you for him. In Jesus' name, everyone said, amen. Amen. Can you see yourself, bud? He's looking right at it. He's looking right at it. All right. Have you got a mic, honey? Would you stand together with me, please? Let's stand together. Praise God. If you're coming in, I think just half the church just came in while I was praying. We're dedicating some babies to the Lord today. Would you stretch your hand this way, and let's pray that God's blessing be upon these homes and these families. Praise God.
We're so thankful for Haley.
Yes.
We're so thankful for her stand that says, as for me and my house,
amen,
we're going to serve the Lord.
Amen.
And
amen.
I pray in the name of
yes.
Jesus that you bless Haley.
Mm.
I pray, God, in
thank
every
you,
area, you put a hedge around these girls, and you bless them. You let her know, God, that you're more than enough to help her and to help her in every decision. I pray that your anointing of the Holy Spirit will be on her, that she will raise two women of God.
Yes, amen.
That they will be light wherever they go. I pray a special touch on her today.
Mm-hmm.
Let God, that you are with her. And you're going to help her. Lord, I just feel that in my spirit.
Yes.
Those things that she said,
yes,
well, how can I do this?
Yes.
How can I do that? You are going to be
Amen.
Her helper.
Absolutely.
In the
Absolutely.
Name of Jesus, we
yes.
agree that this family will be whole.
Praise
and
God.
Will serve you.
Praise God.
That your anointing will be on them, that you'll break everything that needs to be broke.
Yeah.
And we are so thankful.
Protection.
We're excited what
Protection.
You have in store for this family.
Yes, Lord.
In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Lord Jesus,
Praise
can
God.
You pray with me? It's
yeah.
so much better when you pray with me.
Yeah, Lord.
God, we're just
Thank
so
you for
thankful
that.
For Matt and Michaela.
Lord, I pray.
Lord, just we remember years ago when Jesus they prayed
praise.
For a baby.
I thank you, Lord.
And we're so thankful,
amen.
God, that you give us the desires of our heart.
Mm-hmm.
I pray in the name of Jesus that you will bless this home, that this home will be different.
Yes,
this
Lord.
Home, God, will always look
Put
to you for
them.
Different areas,
yes, Lord.
And you'll help them. I pray,
Let
God, that you
the
bless
prosper.
Them as parents.
Raise a hedge, Lord. Raise
bless
a hedge
them
around
in every area,
of their lives.
That
God,
they'll raise three godly
supernatural
men
or
that will
or
never
Amen.
Know the world. That
Amen.
You'll put a
Yes.
A light around them,
yes,
God,
Lord.
And be with them. Let
yes,
the Holy
Lord.
Spirit
mm.
be in their home.
Yeah.
We thank
Lord.
You for the healing touch in this family.
Yes, Lord.
We thank you, God, for healing Jameson. Mm. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Praise God. Praise God. You want to carry that, bud? You want to take that for your sister that you love so much? No. You all right. Love you guys. Come on, let these families know you love them so much. Praise God. This is going to be a fantastic day. Can I get a good amen?
Amen.
I say it's going to be a fantastic day. Can I get a better amen?
Amen.
Do you want God to move in your life? Do you want Him to move in this service? Do you want Him to move in your home? How many of you want God to move? You want God to do something in a mighty way? If you're visiting today, thank you for joining us. I believe God's going to do something in your life. Let's pray together. God, we give you this day. This is the day that you have made. We've decided it's best to rejoice and be glad in it. I pray that the way we walked in will not compare to the way we walk out. I pray that we walk out with greater joy, greater peace, greater hope, greater vision, greater expectation. I pray that the sick be healed. I pray the bound be free. I pray the confused get clarity. And I pray, God, if somebody is not ready for heaven, before they leave today, they'll know that they're heaven ready. In Jesus' name, let's assume God's going to do something great. Give them a hand clap of praise. And thank God. Let's worship together. You look different from this angle.
Oh, hallelujah.
Oh, hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Oh, hallelujah.
Oh, hallelujah.
Our God saves.
Our God saves.
Oh, hallelujah.
Oh, hallelujah.
Highest praises.
Highest praises.
Oh, hallelujah.
Oh, hallelujah.
We give thanks.
We give
Just like this. Say,
well, I'm grateful for who you are and all you've done. For saving me, thank you, Lord, for saving me.
Oh, my soul cries hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for.
Come on, put your hands together. Hey. Say, oh, hallelujah. Say,
oh, hallelujah.
Oh, hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Oh, hallelujah. Say,
oh, our God saves.
Oh, hallelujah.
Oh, hallelujah.
Highest praises.
Highest praises.
Oh, hallelujah.
Oh, hallelujah.
We give thanks.
We
Come on.
Give thanks.
I'm grateful.
I'm grateful.
For who you are.
For who you are.
And all you've done.
on. Are you happy you'll be alive today in the house of the Lord to lift up the name of a mighty God? Oh, we're happy today. You've been a good God. You've been so good. You've been so good. I thank you, Lord. I thank you. My heart is full. My heart is full. I love you. Come on, someone testify this morning that you've been so good. You've been so good. I thank you, Lord. I thank you. My heart is full. My heart is full. I love you, Lord. I love you.
Hey!
You've been so good. You've been so good. I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord. My heart is full. My heart is full. I love you.
Oh, come on, sing it again.
You've been so good. You've been so good. I thank you.
If you're happy to be saved today, give him a mighty shout. Hallelujah.
Go on and speak against my borrowed innocence. The judge is my defense. I'm going free. Right where the gavel fell, I heard the freedom bell ring through the heart of hell. I'm going free. I'm going free.
That's right. Hey.
Glory, glory, hallelujah. You threw my shackles in the sea. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Jesus is my liberty. I'm going. I won't go back again. That's just not who I am. Lord, I'm a brand new man. I'm going free. I'm on a narrow road. It's paved with grace
and hope. It's gonna lead me home. I'm going free. I'm going free. Yeah, come on.
Say glory, glory, hallelujah. You threw my shackles through them in the sea.
Jesus is my liberty.
Glory, glory, hallelujah. You threw my shackles in the sea. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Jesus is my liberty. I'm going free. I am free indeed.
Oh, hallelujah.
I am free. I'm free indeed.
Come on, let's declare it for somebody else. Shout.
Sing, we are free. Free indeed.
That's right.
And we are free.
Take a look.
glory, glory, hallelujah. Jesus is my name.
Come on, I'm going free.
And we are praying.
Some people came in a little stuck, but they're gonna leave different. Amen. We just thank you, God. Whatever the needs are in this house today, we know that you're big enough to meet every need. In Jesus' name, amen. Can you tell about three people? Today's going to be a great day, and then you may be seated. We have a very special guest in the house this morning, and I'll say, I just want to say that, Lisa, you look better today. Like, you look better today. Travis, will you stand up? He's home from Iraq, and we are glad you are in the house. No, stand up. Come on. We're glad you're here. We're glad you're here. He was watching our service on Veterans Day in Iraq, watching his little girl sing. Like, that's the best, huh? Yeah. Charleston Church loves you, Travis. We love your family. We love your girls. And your girls look better when you're here. I'm just saying. I mean, look at your wife today. She's like, woo! Yep. Okay. Sorry, like squirrel right there. Yeah, she does, Travis. I'm just telling you. Yep, she's looking good. Will you just welcome all of our guests today? Maybe you're a guest in the house today. We're glad you are here. We are glad you're in the house. If you're our guest, we want you to take a connection card. We want you to fill it out. If you brought somebody, give them a connection card. Have them fill it out and put it in the offering. Everybody needs a church. Amen? It's God's plan, and we want to be that church for you. Amen? Amen. Yes, we do. You're a little quiet today, so we're going to work on that. This Tuesday night at Faith Bible College International, how many know where that is? How many have never been there? Oh my goodness. Okay, like it's a mile, 1 mile up the road. And this Tuesday night, we're going to have a night of worship. Pastor Mary Bard from Massachusetts is going to be up here. And let me tell you, you do not want to miss it. So that's Tuesday night at 7 o'clock. And how many married people do we have in the house? Dear Lord. Okay, hold on. Let me just ask that one more time. How many married people? Yeah, a little bit. Come on. Okay, okay. yes, whoever that was. Good. Next Sunday night, we're going to have our Better Together service, and God created marriage. Amen? He created it, and it's supposed to be wonderful. It's supposed to be good. It's supposed to be happy. It's supposed to be blessed. It's supposed to be woohoo! Yes? Okay. Yeah, we're going to get out early today. So that will be next Sunday night at 5 o'clock. I'm so sorry. Oh, dear Jesus. Do not hit that drum, Rocky. It just doesn't make me feel good. Do not want you to get out early today, Rocky. You stay here all afternoon. So that's my son-in-law, if you don't know that. So 5 o'clock next Sunday night, we're going to give you something next Sunday morning so you can wear it. We got some Better Together t-shirts. We believe in marriage. Amen? And we believe your marriage should be blessed. And we're having Friend Day on March 24th. And Good Friday at the Gracie. This is our first time that we've done this. We're going to have a Good Friday service at Husson at the Gracie. We want you to go on, see church 11A, get the tickets because seating is limited. But it is going to be a phenomenal night. And you'll meet some of our Sullivan crowd too. So it's going to be good. Amen? That's not that far from now. So it's good. All the ushers, you can come on down. We're going to give today. Amen? I'm so thankful. I was thinking about this. I'm so thankful that my parents taught me to tithe. Like, we can teach our children a lot of things, and all of the things that we teach them are important. But I'm so thankful that my parents taught me 10% an offering to Jesus, and your finances will be blessed. I am so thankful that my parents took the time to say, you need to do what God says, and you'll be blessed because of it. And do you know that you will be? How many here know that God blesses the tithing people of His church? He does. It's just a fact. If you don't do it, I want you to start doing it, and you will see God's blessing. I was talking to a lady that wouldn't want me to tell you her name, but she works in the office, and her name starts with a B. And she was saying years ago, when her husband that now is here in church every Sunday, but then he was not a Christian. And she said that somebody said something to him about tithing and made a joke about it. And he said, I can't explain it to you. This was somebody that wasn't serving God, that knew. And he said, I can't explain it, but if you put our financial things in paper and you say, this is what we have, it doesn't make sense why all of our bills are paid. It doesn't make sense in the natural. But in the spiritual, when you do what God said, He'll do what He said, and He'll bless you. Amen? Amen. Let's just ask the Lord to bless this day and bless this offering. God, we are so thankful. We are so thankful for your church. I'm just so thankful that I have a church that my children have been raised that know you. I never want to take what church is every Sunday just for the regular service. I want to always recognize that this church is blessed. I'm so thankful, God, that you bless the families in this church, and I pray you bless them. I pray you bless their health. I pray you bless their mind. I pray that you bless their families. But I also pray that you bless their finances. Let there be more than enough in the name of Jesus. We are thankful for what you're going to do today at Charleston Church. I am thankful that somebody here is going to leave different than they came. They're going to leave with hope today. And we're so thankful for that. In Jesus' name, amen.
Mountains are still being moved. Strongholds are still being loosed. God, we believe, 'cause yes, we can see it, that wonders are still what you do. Bodies are still being raised. We can see that wonders are still what you do. We are here for you. Come and do what you do. We are here for you. Come and do what you do. Set our hearts on you. Come and do what you do, 'cause we need a move. We need a move. We need a move.
Oh yes, we need a move. Are still being slain. Well, God, we believe it, and yes, we can see it. Wonder.
this room. Miracles happen when you move. Heaven is come.
Come on, let's stretch out to heaven. Shout it.
Miracles.
Oh, they happen when God is on the move.
Is coming in this room.
Miracles happen. Oh.
Miracles happen when you move.
Heaven is here.
Is
I know He's here.
Tell him
we're here for him. We're here for his move, for his work. Come on, if that's you, I want you to raise your hands and shout.
We are here.
Oh, we're here for you. Come and do what you do.
We
set our hearts on you.
Set our hearts on you.
Come and do.
Let's take a moment and begin to, let's all stand together. Let's begin to pray together, if you would. Let's stand as we approach God in prayer today. There's a lot of things that God promised could happen in His house, and all of them are tied to prayer today. And I want us to pray together. You may have somebody beside you that needs a miracle. You may have somebody you're related to that needs a miracle. You may work for somebody or have somebody who works for you that needs a miracle. But God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. What He's ever done before, He can still do today. Can I get a good amen on that right there? I know that you know it's true. Many of you are recipients. These aren't stories. These are realities. I want us to pray today. I want us to pray for Diane Churchill. Very sick today. She's battling cancer in her body. But Jesus has the power to rid disease out of our bodies. If you read the Bible, you have to believe that the Bible says that very plainly. The stripes that Jesus took on His back at the crucifixion, the Bible says God looked at that and said, that's enough. That's the price to be paid to bring healing to the people that God has begun to do a work in. So let's pray together today. If you've got a need, lift your need up to God. I'm telling you, somebody came here overwhelmed with something in your mind. And I'm not saying because God told me, I just know people. But I'm telling you today, you can, in a moment of prayer, have God take all the burdens of all that stuff and take it right off of you. I don't know what kind of church you went to, but let me tell you what kind of church we are. We're a participation church. I promise if you are a spectator, you'll leave the same. But if you'll participate, you'll leave different in the name of Jesus. So I have no promise for spectatorship. But I do have a book of promises for participation. And so if you came for entertainment or for observation, that's fine. You can come for that. But really, when you leave by participating in what God is doing. And so I want us to pray together right now that God would pour out answers to prayer all over this building today. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we each of us come to You. Let me stop right there. There must be 600 adults in this room. If everybody begins to pray, it seemed like you could hear it. There's something about united prayer that God says, I'll do something in that I won't otherwise. Come on, let's unite together in prayer. Lord, we together come. You said if two or three come together in your name, that you would be there. God, we're not ashamed to pray. God, we're not embarrassed that we have a need. God, we're not intimidated by the obstacle. But God, you said that if we would approach you, we should come boldly. And when we come boldly, expect you to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all we could ever ask or even think. And God, you're not going to move until the people pray. But God, you said when the people pray, you'll begin to move. Hallelujah. God, it's not by words or eloquence or education or finances, but God, by faith today, heal children. By faith today, heal adults. By faith today, deliver the bound. By faith today, heal the hurting. By faith today, give peace to the troubled mind. Lord, I pray today you'll undo decades of abuse. I pray in a moment today you'll undo decades of religion. And I pray the joy of the Lord be filling our hearts today in the glorious, wonderful name, the matchless name, your name in Jesus. I pray for Diane Churchill today. God, I believe that you'll touch her body. I believe the Bible. I believe the Bible is true. And Lord, I stand on that Bible promise that by your stripes, Diane receives her healing today. Now, God, I pray that you help me to communicate effectively. Don't let it be man's thoughts. But God, let your word today spoken break down barriers and build up faith today. I pray in Jesus' name. Everyone said amen. Open your Bibles, if you would, with me, the book of 2 Samuel while you're standing. 2 Samuel chapter 9. 2 Samuel chapter 9. If you're there, say I'm there. If you're getting there, say I'm getting there. Okay, more of you than them, so I'll wait. Come back tonight. A large group of our leaders and all of our youth group has gone up to Bridgewater for the weekend, and all the volunteers and all that team will be back tonight, and it's going to be a phenomenal. Always, I love the Sunday night service anyways, but Sunday night of Youth Summit is always real special. And we believe that God is calling the next generation to serve Him in holiness and in complete victory. And so you want to be here tonight. You want to participate in that. I'm sick of a godless society taking control of our children. I'm sick of it. And so we're not going to have it. We're going to press on. Amen. Amen. 2 Samuel chapter 9. Are you there yet? All right. One day David asked, is anyone in Saul's family still alive? Anyone whom I can show kindness for Jonathan's sake? He summoned a man named Ziba who was one of Saul's servants. Are you Ziba? And he said, yes. Verse 3, king asked, is anyone still alive from Saul's family? I want to show God's kindness to them. Let me stop right there. I don't know if you're visiting or if you've been coming here for decades. I assure you today that God wants his kindness shown toward you. Amen. Yes, one of Jonathan's son is still alive in verse 3. He's crippled in both of his feet. Where is he? The king asked. In Lodabar, at the home of Machir, son of Amiel. So David sent for and brought him from Machir's home. His name was Mephibosheth. He was Jonathan's son and Saul's grandson. If you don't know this, Saul was the king. David is now the king. When he came to David, he bowed low in deep respect. David said, greetings, Mephibosheth. And Mephibosheth replied, I'm your servant. Don't be afraid, David said. I intend to show you kindness. I'm so glad. I deserve judgment and punishment, but God gives us kindness when we come to him humbly. Okay? I want to show kindness to you because of my promise to your father, Jonathan. I'll give you the property that once belonged to your grandfather, Saul. And you'll eat here with me at the king's table. Mephibosheth bowed respectfully and exclaimed, who am I that you'd show me such kindness? I'm a dead dog. And I explained to you a couple of weeks ago, when a Hebrew said, I'm a dead dog, that means I've lost hope. I've lost my commitment. I'm basically backsliding on the things that God has for me. I'm a dead dog. Means he used to have hope, used to be excited, used to pray, used to serve, used to be involved, used to have dreams, used to move in the Holy Ghost, used to be used in the gifts. But now because of what he'd been through, he says, I've lost it. How many know, even when you feel like you've lost it, doesn't mean that you've actually lost it. I'm going to get it all back, is what you ought to be saying. Verse 9, King summoned Saul's servant Ziba and said, I have given your master's grandson everything that belonged to Saul and his family. You and your sons and servants are to farm the land for him, produce food for your master's household. But Mephibosheth, your master's grandson, will the only thing he's got to do is stay at the table. Verse 11, Ziba replied, Yes, Lord, the king, I'm your servant. I'll do all you've commanded. From that time on, Mephibosheth ate regularly at David's table like one of the king's own sons. Amen. Mephibosheth had a young son named Micah. I'm going to tell you, this Mephibosheth grew up pretty tough, but his son's going to grow up totally different. If you can't say amen to that, somebody needs to check your pulse. Probably should check your pulse anyways. From then on, all the members of Ziba's household were Mephibosheth's servants. And Mephibosheth, who was crippled in both feet, lived in Jerusalem and ate regularly at the king's table. You can be seated. Thank you for standing for God's word. It's not for me. It's for the word. I want to talk to you today because I believe that there are three things that if I could communicate it effectively would be the key to everybody's restoration, whether you're in the church, been in the church, or you haven't even come yet and you're watching online. Somebody say three things. Come on, you can do better. Three things. The first is the cross. The cross. The first is the cross. David is sitting, eating at the table in the palace, and I believe as he reaches over to get a cup of dark roast coffee, he looks at his wrist and he sees a scar, and it reminds him of a day that he and his best friend Jonathan made a commitment. And David said to Jonathan, I promise, as long as anybody's alive in you or your dad's family, I will make sure that they get the royal inheritance that a king's son deserves. I will make sure that it happens. And back then, they didn't sign PDFs. They sealed it in blood. You got to understand, when you cut yourself and seal something in blood, that's not a commitment that you're just going to back out of real quickly. Can you imagine if you had to give blood to sign up to serve as a volunteer at the church? Maybe we should. When he sees that healed scar, it reminds him, I made a commitment. I made a covenant. I made a covenant that I can't back out of. And regardless of wherever the family is gone, I'm going to be faithful to my covenant. And when David sees that, he begins to investigate, does an internet search, and begins to find out that in the DNA line of Saul, there is a guy named Mephibosheth who's still alive. And he calls him in, and Mephibosheth, who has nothing on the outside to make him look like royalty, David says, because of my commitment, you still have the right and the opportunity to live as royalty. Now, follow me slowly. You remember, Mephibosheth was hurt by authority. Somebody who was supposed to take care of him hurt him when he was young. And because of that, one thing led to another. You should be careful when you judge everybody because you don't know what led them to that place. And one thing led to another. He ends up in a place called Lodabar, which is a place that there's no hope. Not only if that's bad enough, he moves to Machir's home, which Machir is known for just saying, this is the place to go if you never want to do any better. If you just want to be sick, ugly, poverty, broken, hurting, if you want your marriage to be no better, if you want your life to be no better, this is the place to live because we don't really expect anything of you. You know, it's amazing. It's amazing. When you begin to hang around people that are committed to nothing, how you be committed. Machir had a commitment. Please hear this. Machir was committed to surrounding himself with people that were committed to getting nothing done. Hello? Everybody's committed, just not everybody's committed to the right thing. And so his commitment to just existing was there. And all this gets into Mephibosheth's head. But while Mephibosheth was lavish, was just dying from the inside out, far away, there's somebody in a palace that was thinking about him. And so this is the beautiful picture of the cross. When Jesus went to the cross 2,000 years ago, you and I were just paling away in our sin. Everybody's born a sinner. Everybody's born far from God. But God went to the cross, and while you were never thinking about Him, when He was on the cross, He was dying for you and for me. I think you could say amen and thank God or something like that. So it's at the cross. The Bible tells us in Psalm 89 verse 19, long ago you spoke in a vision to your faithful people. I've raised up a warrior. This is speaking about Jesus. I've selected him from among the people to be king. Verse 34, I will not break my covenant. I will not take back a single word I said. Somebody needs to hear this today. Why Jesus went to the cross was for you. But what he wants from that is for you to fulfill why he put you on the planet. He puts you on the planet, and I need you to hear this. Maybe you've drifted from God. You're watching online, and you're not in church, but you used to be in church, and you've drifted from God. Or I've found a case where people go to church every week and drift from God. You've drifted from Him. You wonder, has God changed His mind? I've got good news for you. God has not changed His mind. He hasn't forgotten one thing. In fact, He's fighting for you to get back to where He wants you, to get back to the altar, back to prayer, back to right living, back to morality, back to peace, back to victory. The cross. I heard about Bill Cornelius recently. Bill pastors a church in Corpus Christi called the Church Unlimited. And to make a long story short, he was needing to raise $17 million for his growing church. And it's amazing how he was able to get there, but a friend of his got him to sit at the table across from Sam Walton. Hello. Sam Walton. One thing you will never hear a Mainer say, I couldn't find what I needed at Walmart. And when he sits across the table, he tells Sam his project, and Sam Walton says, well, how much do you need? And Bill Cornelius is thinking, oh, I just need a starter. And he's kind of intimidated. He's, well, how about $250,000? So Sam Walton takes out his checkbook and he writes $250,000 check, gives it to him, takes another check out of his pocket and rips it up. Cornelius says, what was that? And he says, oh, that was a check for $1 million. But because you only asked for $250,000, I just won't give you $1 million. I'm telling you, every single day of this week, I've been getting up thinking, God, you're offering so much more than your people are asking for because they're not convinced that what you did on the cross was for our benefit. We forget the cross. We forget the price that he paid. I'm telling you, when you wake up tomorrow morning, wake up and say, God, I believe that you died so that I would not settle. You did not die so that I could be uncommitted. You died so that I become free. For he whom the Son makes free is free indeed. Depression will not hold you. The hopelessness will not hold you. Disease will not hold you. Why? Because what he did on the cross is greater than what anybody did to you in life. The cross. Mephibosheth says to David says to Mephibosheth, your life can be restored to what you were born for if you'll accept the covenant. Secondly, here's the second part of the plan though. You've got to come to the table. You've got to come. It's a picture of the church. The cross is a picture of the covenant. The table that Mephibosheth eats at is a picture of the church. I was reading through the Bible and thinking through the Bible, the different pictures of the church. I'm preaching to the choir today because you're in church. But I need somebody to hear, and this is going to be maybe not so dazzling, but fortunately you're a little subdued, so I think we can get this together. Praise God. Last week I was preaching at a black church. I couldn't even get a word in there shouting me down. So be careful. Get too excited. All right. Here's the pictures of the church in the Bible. It's a body. It's an army. It's a bride. It's a city. It's a building. It's a garden. It's a basket. It's an ark. It's a temple. It's a tabernacle. It's a kingdom. It's a priesthood. It's a nation. It's a vine. It's a flock. It's a family. I'm just telling you today, the church is what God's got his eye on. You're his love today. Ecclesia is the Greek word for church. Ecclesia is the Greek word for church. It has three meanings. Ready? Gathering, meeting, or assembly. The church, in God's mind, is a place where people gather, a place where people meet, a place where people assemble. And I think it's our own fault, but churches have preached so much that all you need is a relationship with God, which is half the gospel. It's not biblical. There is nowhere in the Bible that you'll find the scripture that says all you need is a relationship with God. Every time someone came to God, he connected them to the church. Come on, you ought to be shouting. It's like this is the time you scored 100 on the test. You came to church today. Well, the church. You know, sometimes people are negative. Warren Wiersbe said, I'd rather be a struggling Christian in an imperfect church than a perfect sinner outside the church. Man, if my arm was longer, I'd pat myself on the back for finding that. I'm going to try it again. Warren Wiersbe said, I'd rather be a struggling Christian in an imperfect church than a perfect sinner outside the church. I think people are confused about what church is. So if you'd suffer me a minute to just give you facts. I'm just going to go through here, and it'll be on the screen. I'm just going to go through here what a church is. What is a church? These are good questions. Because I'm telling you today, if Mephibosheth would not have committed to the table, he would have never reaped the benefits of the cross. And there are people that are just not taught the whole Bible. And there are people who will come to Christ, come to an altar, but they don't realize that's not the complete picture. That coming to him is one part, the restoration of your life is at the table. Your salvation is when you enter an altar call. Your restoration is when you enter the church. Okay? I know you get this, but I want to reaffirm it in you. Let's talk about what a church is. It's dry words just out of some doctrine books I've got. The church is made up of regenerated believers. The church is made up of regenerated believers. So a lot of the stuff that you see on the news they call church is not church because there's nobody saved in it. Seriously. A church is a group of people who found Christ to be Savior and have given their lives to Christ. The church is organized under qualified and competent leadership. The church is organized, and I've got scripture that gives all of this. The church is organized under qualified and competent leadership. Not everybody that says they're a pastor is. That was deep. And you're nice, so you don't want to say amen too loud. But a church, people say, well, I don't like organized religion. Been at the hospital a little bit with my dad. He's doing really well, by the way. He's recovering. But I'm yet to meet somebody who walks in the hospital. I'm against organized health care. Who is that doctor to tell me what I should be doing? I'm going to operate on myself. That makes just as much sense as somebody who says they don't like organized religion. The church regularly gathers to hear God's word rightly preached and respond in the worship. Let me just say this right here. You say, well, what does it matter what church you go to? It means everything. Because the word of God is to be rightly and accurately preached. And it should be responded to with worship. Next, the church is where biblical sacraments of baptism and communion are performed regularly as visible symbols of the gospel in the life of the church. Only doctrine books can give you sentences that long. The church is unified by confession and the shared life of Christ through the Holy Spirit. The church obeys the great commandment to love. The church obeys the great commission to evangelize and make disciples. It's the church. Ladies and gentlemen, it's the cross and it's the church. You can see it in Genesis. You'll see it all the way to Revelation. And in God's mind, you can't separate them. I know that we live in a different day, but I'm not in. If that's not the way God restores lives, then I don't want to be a part of the church. We're not here just because we're not here because it's what everybody in Maine just does. We're not here because it's just some social event for some people. We are here because it is God's plan that people enter the family by the cross, but they're restored by the church. If it were not for the church, please hear this, because some of you get hammered by people over and over. Well, negative, 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 negative. And sure, some churches have fallen short. But if it wasn't for the church historically, it was the church that started hospitals. It was the church that built charity organizations. It's the church that has lended to scientific breakthroughs. It is the church that has preached human rights. It is the church that preached and declared the end of slavery. It is the church that actually brought the invention of Braille. It is the church from which we get the rule of law. It is the church which is a form of government which is for the people's good. It is the church that has preached women's rights. It is the church that has preached education for everybody. It is the church that has preached the God's blueprint for marriage, one man, one woman. I'm telling you today, if it wasn't for the church, this world would look the wild, wild west, make good look good. But it's the church of the living God that can still heal a community, still restore a nation. Oh God, let revival pour out on your church one more time. I could spend way longer than is necessary to tell you how biblical the church is. And I understand schedules, I understand activities, I understand online. You know, online is a great advantage. There are people for a multiplied reasons can't get to church, but they're connected to the church online. I'm good with that. I think the best result is when you're in person. But most of the time, those are transitional tools, and those people end up being a part of the church. So I'm okay with that. I understand people's schedules. I need to be smart enough to understand. And we've got to find ways to have church more than we have church, to be quite honest with you. Okay, sit down. Don't stand and run and jump. We don't need less church. We need more of it. We need more of it. And the reason we need more of it, because the world is getting more ungodly all the time. We need more church, but we need to have more variety. And I'm trying to find ways to do it right. But as much wrong as I can find with the church, and you might find with the church, I'm telling you, for every one wrong, there's 100,000 right things that have been going on in the church. We ought to thank God. Amen. Come on, let's thank God for the church. See, David said to Mephibosheth, you have a covenant, you have an inheritance, but if you stay out there and stay under the influence of Lodabar... Please lean in and hear this. If you stay under the influence of Makur, if you stay out there, you will know that you have a covenant, but their influence will tell you you don't deserve it. And their influence will tell you things that you shouldn't do, and you end up, though the inheritance for you, never experience it. And so he says, Mephibosheth, I love you so much, you can't live under the influence of ungodly people. I need you to change your address from Makur's house and make it here at the table. Because Mephibosheth, every time you come to the table, I'm going to remind you that you're royalty. The church is not here to remind you how bad you are. The church is here to remind you how good God's been and how good God can be to you. Come on. Don't give me the silent treatment. You're the church. You ought to be happy about it. It's the influence. Why do you think the enemy's doing everything he can to attack the church? Because he knows the church is the last bastion of spiritual influence on the planet. Katy Perry, if you don't know her, there's no sense of me even trying to explain her. But she is right now one of the top entertainers and has been for quite a while and will more than definitely end up being one of the greats in history of entertainment and music. But what most people don't understand is that Katy Perry grew up in a church like this one. She grew up in a church like this one, a spirit-filled church. She's a preacher's kid, actually. And when she was young, she was prophesied to over and over again, you will sing in front of millions of people. You will sing in front of millions of people. When she got older, she moved out of her parents' house, moved out of the church, and moved into Hollywood. How many know that almost never ends up being good when you go to Hollywood? Okay, I'm going to tell you it doesn't. Maybe you've never even heard of it. So she took the gift that she was promised out of the culture, out of the church, into the world, and got influenced in Lodabar. Watch this. Watch this. Her singing now is going all over the world, and what she sings and what she stands for is everything opposite of the gospel. She could be, instead of singing music that contributes to teen pregnancy and contributes to immorality and contributes to the exploitation of a generation and contributes to ungodliness and contributes to all kinds of activity that is self-damaging and confusing identity. Instead of that, if she would have stayed under the influence of the gospel, she could be in front of millions and putting an end to teen pregnancy and putting an end to self-mutilation and put an end to confusion. But because she had a gift, but she took it to the wrong culture, that the enemy took a gift and made it work for his kingdom instead of God's kingdom. I'm just telling you, every one of you have been born with gifts. God put them in you. You've got to keep them under the influence of godly ministry, godly Sunday school teachers, godly youth directors. Come on, somebody. If you'll take your gift to the church, God will make sure your gift explores the kingdom. I know this is tight. I know people maybe lost probably half the people watching online. But Fred's there. Can I get an amen, Fred? Have I said anything that makes sense? Of all days for it to be 145 degrees in church, it's the day I preach on the church. I know, but I'm just telling you what the Bible says. And the Bible says a cultural Christian is someone who has relationship but no church. A biblical Christian is somebody, the Bible says in Acts chapter 2, they were saved and they were added to the church. You got to be really educated to mess that up. That's what the Bible says. They were saved and added to the church. Saved and added to the church. Saved and added to the church. All right? The cross, the church. But there's one thing that's left that we need and is required for the restoration of a life. It's called a commitment. A commitment. In the Bible, there are three levels of leadership in the Bible. There are pastors, there are ministry leaders, and there are members. Acts 20, verse 28, Acts 6, Ephesians chapter 2. And so, Paul preached last week on the table, belonging and believing. See, there are four chairs around this table which represent the church. And everybody in this place has one of these seats. Everybody in this place sits in one of these and occupies one of these. Let's start with the first one. As Paul preached last week, those who belong. I'm going to tell you today, you don't have to be saved to go to church. You didn't find that hard to believe at all, so I'm going to move on from that one. You don't have to be saved. I'm just telling you today, if you're watching, if you're visiting, you say, I'm not sure if I buy into this. That's okay. We love you. You can come here for 100 years if you want. We're not a cult. A cult says you have to believe to even enter the doors. No, we're not. There's no secret society here. There's no secrets being told. We're an open book. You belong. The second seat, we want you to move to by becoming a believer. You must believe in Christ to be saved. But you move from being those who belong to a believer, but we want you to move to the next seat, this is what I'll preach, to be a member. To be a member of the church. Ephesians 2 says that there are many members in the church. 1 Corinthians says there are members of the body. Peter says that we are lively stones in the building of God. A member. It's membership. A member, what does a member do? A member knows how to follow. Jesus said, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. A member knows how to be faithful. A member is not a regular visitor. A member praises God when they don't feel like it. A member gives when they don't feel like it. A member keeps going when others quit. A member prays for people when they'd rather be prayed for themselves. A member is a follower, is faithful. A member knows how to function. They know to fit their spot. And then lastly, a leader. This is what we want. We want you to come into this place and just know that we love you. We want you to move to believing. We want you to move, become a member, become a part of the church. But then we want you to come to the fourth chair, and that's leadership. Leadership is using your influence to reach people. Leadership is using your influence. How do we become a leader? Well, first you need to be a member. I know a lot of people want to be leaders of something they won't be members of. Then you need to be well-grounded. We need to know, are you here for good weather or are you here for all seasons? A leader has self-control. If you took your little statue of Mary and whacked your kids over the back seat, you're probably not a leader yet. A leader is supportive by nature. Some people can't support nothing that doesn't feature them. A leader is somebody who endures pressure successfully. A leader aligns themselves with the vision, not their own desires. A leader is anointed by the Holy Spirit. So let me just say, the point here is, every level requires commitment. I promise to do better next week. I know this is dry, but it's right. Come on, can we have some grown folk talk? You don't want to be children, you want to be adults. This is how you build a church for your unsaved child to get saved in. This is how you build a church that turns Maine into the least church state to the most Christian state in the United States. It's the church. It's the final hope. You're the people that God has called to do it. And notice I haven't said anything about money. You belong. You become a believer. You become a member. You begin to grow and become a leader. Use your influence. But it's one commitment after another. That's why we need men in church. And I'm not saying women aren't committed. I'm just saying men love to be challenged to commitment. And I believe that this shallow gospel that requires no commitment is totally unappealing to the male species. Challenge me. How many of you like to be challenged? You like a good challenge. But it's all commitment. You move from one. And I'm going to ask you today, what's your commitment? Where's your commitment level? See, when we're not committed to the right thing, we open the door to the wrong thing. Please, can I preach? I said, when we're uncommitted to God, we open the door to everything that's not God. I just need somebody to hear this, that you've bought the lie of cultural Christianity. I'm just telling you, you either all in or you're not. I want to be a part of a group of people that are all in. We don't see it so much because we got so many snowbanks, but it won't be long. We're going to have a revisitation of roadkill. Hey, Willie, can you throw that water at me? I'm as dry as... Throw that at me, would you? Just, thank you, buddy. So, I didn't want my wife to throw it because she'd take the cap off it and she'd throw it at me. Because she's fun like that. I'm committed to her, by the way. You imagine if I said to her, you know, I'd like to marry you, but not 7 days a week. Not 7 days a week. I'd like to be married more than half, though. Is that not fair? How about 60-40? 60-40. What's the breakdown of that? Like five days married, 2 days not? 60-40. Is that right? Is that good math? Good enough. All right, thank you. And I say, man, I'm faithful to you. You're not faithful. I am faithful. I'm more faithful than I'm not. No, faithful is not percentages. Faithful is decision. And so if when we said, till death do us part, probably death would come. On day six. That's it. You're done. If your refrigerator worked 5 days out of seven, would you call it faithful? Sure is nice to have seen you. Hope you come back Christmas. If your car starts 4 days out of the seven, is your car faithful? If you pay your mortgage eight months a year, does your bank call you faithful? I'm telling you this, and I'm not here to be mean. I'm just understanding that our culture is less committed to anything. And the danger is, you know what happens to what roadkill is? Somebody who's not committed. See, qualified leadership. Did you hear that? I said roadkill is someone who lacks commitment. Roadkill is a skunk or a deer or a porcupine or a squirrel. I can't hit a squirrel if they paid me. They're fast. Who is not committed. And I'm telling you, I know this sounds rough, and you know what? It is. It is. But I'm tired of seeing Christian roadkill. And for the cause of not wanting to offend anybody, at times the temptation to veer away from these things is strong. For fear that somebody won't come back. And I've found that people just don't come back. That's the smartest thing I've said all day right there. That is the smartest thing that I've come up with. Like, it doesn't matter. But a somewhat committed person becomes Christian roadkill. I don't want anybody here to be like Demas. The Apostle Paul had this man in his ministry with Demas, and he was powerful. He had so much potential. But Paul said he lacked his commitment to the gospel because he got his eyes on the things of the world. And Demas has forsaken me. If you're here today and you don't think that's possible to you, you might be veering into the road to be hit. Ladies and gentlemen, God requires of His people on a daily basis, if you are more spiritual than Paul, stay away from me. But Paul said, daily I crucify my flesh, and nevertheless it is not me, but it is Christ that lives within me. And if you do any less than daily make fresh commitments to God, you, my friend, are potential Christian roadkill. But I'm telling you, in these last days, the Spirit of God is being poured out all over the world. But I don't find Him being poured out on liberal churches. I don't find Him being poured out on cool churches. I don't find Him being poured out on convenience Christianity. I do find Him being poured out on people who pray, who fast, who live holy, who give their lives for the cause of Christ. That's where the miracles are. That's where the signs and wonders are. But it's not in this cultural Christianity, but it is in a group of believers, whether it be dozens or thousands. It is for, reserved for those who say, for Christ I live and for Christ I will die. Where's our commitment? Lord, let me give me the boldness to preach as a prophet of the New Testament. Where is the commitment in the church? I see the commitment in the world. I'm not struggling with that. Not hard to find people lined up for everything that's not religious. But where's the line? Where's the line for the Christian employment? Where's the line for prayer? Where's the line for commitment? Where's the line for holiness? I'm not preaching to the world, I'm preaching to the church. We need to recommit to say, I'll not smell like the world. I'll not look like the world. I'll not act like the world. I am a new creature in Christ. I'm a royal son of God. Royal blood flows through my veins. I'm a child of the King. Are there any royalty in the house today? Is there anybody realize that you've been bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ? The only thing that will rob the benefits of that from your life is staying in Lodabar, getting out of the fellowship of the believers, and letting this godless world tell you you're nobody, you're nothing, you're worthless, you're of no value. No, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Let's stand together. I would ask you with hand, sometimes we do this, but everybody somehow makes some kind of gesture to the Lord. Say, Lord, I surrender my life to you today. Come on. Let every believer make a fresh commitment. I am surrendered to Christ today. Would you? All over this building. Lord, we make a fresh commitment. My life is not my own. Lord, if I'm going to serve you, I'm going to serve you completely. Come on. Come on. There are people here today, and you know that compromise is in your life. I'm telling you today, stop it. And say, I'm not compromising anymore. I'm committed. Holy Spirit, do what I cannot do today. Holy Spirit, go right to the exact area of everybody's life in this building today and remedy the infection of compromise. Lord, remedy every area of compromise in a man's life. Lord, remedy every area of compromise in a woman's life. Lord, remedy every area of compromise, somebody watching online, somebody watching later. Lord, remedy every area of compromise in the leadership, in the pastoral care, in the board, in our volunteer leaders, in our members. Lord, by your Spirit, I know that some people don't know what it means, Lord, but let a spirit of holiness come upon your church once again. But Lord, this time, don't let it be as shallow as our clothes, but let it be so deep that it goes to our attitudes and our priorities. Holy Spirit, I want to say publicly, may you never remove the convicting power of your Spirit from our services. Lord, let us not resist it, but Lord, let us cherish the corrective power of your Spirit. I'm tired of seeing Christian roadkill. Lord, I want to see a revival. A revival. Our community requires it. Our children must experience it. Lord, may not one, you will not move by your Spirit where there's compromise, but you will move by your Spirit where there's humility. And God, if you don't move by your Spirit in our, around the table called the church, then literally, Lord, we've lost everything. But Lord, it's not that way, and we contend for it to never be that way. Oh, Holy Spirit, do everything you want to get done today in the people of God. God, I thank you for your forgiving power. Somebody has quietly, secretly compromised. But today, the blood of Jesus washes away all that sin in the name of Jesus. I think somebody ought to thank God, even if it's your neighbor. Begin to thank God that nothing can wash away, but the blood of Christ can wash away all sin. Lord, I thank you that every man or woman today can be clean, amen, and can have a brand new beginning in the mighty name of Jesus. Come on, let's pray together, just solemnly. I'll let you go in just one second. Lord, search our hearts. Make sure that everything is right. We've come today, Lord, to the house of prayer for correction. Lord, I think that people appreciate honesty. I think that people want real healing. But it won't come, Lord, in a culture of compromise. It will come around the table of commitment. Lord, we're all at different chairs, different stages. It's all right. You're not expecting more from us than where we're seated. But God, let us know where we're seated. God, prepare us to take the next level of commitment. Would you pray right now? I know people love to pray for houses and land, and I'm for that. But right now, I think it'd be better if we prayed for holiness. Would you begin to pray? Come on, would you begin to pray? Come on, would you begin to pray? I'm not playing church. I'm telling you, you want to play church, this might be the last Sunday you'll enjoy it. I've not come to play church. I've come to see people touched, delivered from addiction, healed, salvaged. I'm telling you, church, I'm committed to this whole thing God calls the church. But it won't happen if we just toy with sin. Would everybody in this place cry out, Lord, purify me. Lord, purify this preacher. God, purify this preacher from every ungodly attitude and every sense of selfishness and fleshly living. And Lord, I pray, I humble myself before you. Make me clean. Come on, everybody here, just go ahead, Lord, make me clean. Purify me, Lord. God, I don't want to leave here stained. I don't want to leave here compromised. I want to leave here committed. I don't want to live in the danger zone of half commitment. I want to live in the safety zone of fully committed to your glorious purpose for my life. Lord, I pray that there'll be a cleansing that takes place in this meeting today. I pray that there's a cleansing element in this meeting, every meeting that we have, that even those that feel that they're the filthiest of sinners, let them feel like they've walked up to the greatest cleaning agent that they've ever met. That is the blood of Christ. Free people from compromise. Restore us today. Now let's make this our prayer. Lord, we recommit to you. Come on, would you begin to say, Lord, I commit. Come on, be strong about it. Be strong about it. Lord, I'm making a commitment to you. I'm committed to be wholly yours. I'm committed to doing everything that I've, every commitment I've made, I'm going to keep it now. I'm not backing off. I'm not going 80%. I'm going 100% in this commitment. Go ahead and pray that prayer. Lord, I'm committed. Lord, I'm committed. I'm getting correction. I'm getting course correction. I'm committed. I'm committed to you. I'm committed to you. I restore this commitment. I renew my vow to be 100% with you. I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, God, I don't see one Bible example that God worked with anybody 80%. Everybody he worked with was 100%. Lord, I'm completely yours. I'm completely yours. In the name of Jesus Christ. Somebody say a good amen. Amen. With every head bowed and every eye closed. Maybe you're new to church, but I'm telling you, what God's doing today is part of church. It's just course correction. If you're here today and you say, you know what, you talk about these things, I've not made a decision to believe in Christ. I've not made a decision to allow Christ to forgive me of all my sins. And today I want to make that decision. When you pray that prayer, I want to be in that prayer. I want to pray that prayer with you. I know several people this week that have, over the past 2 weeks, that have lost loved ones. And I'm not saying that to be over dramatic. I'm just saying this life is so temporary. I got thinking this week, I was doing something, I thought, man, if that heart, everything's connected to your physical heart. If that little machine ever quit working, eternity is one breath away. I'm telling you, more simple machines and your heart quit I'm not saying you should live in fear. Well, you should if you're not ready for heaven. You should be in fear and trembling, quite honestly. But if you're ready for heaven, you shouldn't fear a thing. But I want to ask you a very straightforward question in a very straightforward service. If you died today, do you have 100% confidence that you'd go to heaven? If you have 100% confidence that you'd go to heaven, go ahead and raise your hand. Go ahead and raise your hand. I have 100% confidence. You can put them down. I wish everybody could do that. I wish everybody could say, I'm 100% confident. I don't want anybody wondering. I don't want you wondering about eternity. I want you knowing before you leave. If that's you today, you say, when you pray that prayer, I want to pray it with you. Raise your hand up nice and high and say, today's the day I want to come to Christ. Just raise your hand up nice and high. Raise your hand up nice and high. Say, I want to come to Christ today. When you pray that prayer, I want to come to Christ. I want to come to the Lord. When you pray that prayer, I want to make Jesus my Lord. God bless you. Is there anyone else? Is there anyone else? Say, today's the day I want to give my life to Christ. You're worth the wait. Lord, give that person boldness today to say, I'm going to come to Christ today. Don't delay. Don't delay. Today is the day of salvation. I feel an urgency for somebody. Time to quit playing games. You don't play games in any other area of your life. Don't play games with God. Is there anyone else? Is there anyone else? Ma'am, can I pray with you? Can I pray for you? I want to pray with you right now. Would you let me pray with you? Yeah, I'll come to you. It's fine. That's fine. Bring Marla with you. I want to pray for you. Somebody ought to thank God. I preached you into a silence. Is this the girl you brought last week?
Yes.
Wonderful.
This is Brandy.
Brandy, I'm so glad that you're here today. Brandy's waving at you if you can't see her. I don't know. Is this your second week here? I don't preach like that all the time. I might more often, but...
She's been watching your live stream.
Oh, you've been watching live stream.
Don't all be right. Lying to her now.
Pastor. I won't lie to her. No, thanks, Marla. Thanks for holding me to the line, Marla. Jeez, this ain't no time to start lying. I'm so glad that you're here, Brandy. I want to pray with you that God will do something wonderful in your life. I noticed during the service today, you're taking all this in. You needed this decision. You know, I think this is the appropriate service for you because you need that much difference. You want a complete difference in your life. Guess what? God can do that. God does that. Amen, church? Amen. God does that.
Amen.
So let's pray together. We pray together like a family here, Brandy. So let's pray together. Dear Jesus, thank you so much for bringing me here today. I know that you love me. You've gone out of your way to get in my way. And I recognize it today. Please forgive me from all my sins. Wash away the past. I want to leave that influence. I want a new influence. I need you in my life. So I receive you. Jesus Christ, you're my Savior and my Lord. I'm committed to serving you because you are committed saving me. Thank you for this day. It's a brand new beginning in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen, Brandy. Sure. Bless you, Brandy. How do you know Brandy?
My kids used to babysit her when she was little.
Your kids used to babysit Brandy when she was little.
Yes.
Oh. Honey, would you come? Darcy, would you come and just pray? Here. Just pray over Brandy. Everybody stretch your hands this way. And I want you to pray together for Brandy that God would just touch her, bless her in a powerful way. Would you do that?
Brandy, first of all, I just want to say welcome to your church. We're so glad to have you here. When you come here, you can pull out a seat and say, I'm home.
That's good, right? That's good.
God, I don't know anything about Brandy, but I know that you know every detail of her life. And God, you just created it that she would be here today. And you have a purpose for her. and you have a plan for her. The word says that you make the crooked road straight. That means those things in her life that she's just struggled with, like we all have. You're going to come in and you're going to make those roads straight. You're going to make her road easier. You're going to make her road blessed. You're going to give her hope. In the name of Jesus, I pray a special touch on her today. A special touch that when she leaves, she'll feel different. I pray, God, this week that you help her Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. And that we'll see her next Sunday and she'll say, it's been a good seat. Amen. I pray blessings on her. I pray peace, direction, and hope. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Charleston Church, will you let her know you're glad that she's here?
Minister to her. Praise God. Praise God.
Would you pray together with me now? It's a lot of praying going on, then I'm going to dismiss you real quick. Would you pray for your church? How many know this is it? This is what we got. We need it to go well. Lord, I pray for our church today. I thank you for every church that preaches the gospel. But God, we have our own call. They have their own call. I pray that you'll anoint it afresh and anew. Now be with everybody this afternoon. Give our youth department safe traveling mercy here tonight. And give us a mighty outpouring of your spirit tonight and all week long. In Jesus' name, somebody shout.